1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and last week we ended in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, and in verse 17 he said, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." So again, Paul writing to them, wishing to see them with great desire again after planting that church a few years beforehand. And again, Paul could have left when he was in Thessalonica. He could have left very happy about the church he planted and all those who were led to Christ in that church. He could have left and just thought he had done his job and moved on to the next city that the Lord would lead him. But Paul understood his job was not simply to convert people. Okay? His calling was also to make disciples. And that takes time. And of course, you know, there were some other places that he visited. He spent a lot more time with the newly planted churches, you know, helping them grow in their faith, but he only had a short time. And so, you know, he didn't have much time. And the thing is, Jesus doesn't call people to just believe in or receive him. Right? He calls people to follow him, meaning to continue to follow him. Right? So if we lead someone to have faith in Christ, and we have the opportunity, we also have the responsibility of helping them to become a follower of the Lord Jesus also. And so continuing in that thought, Paul recalls in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone." Okay, so no longer endure what? Endure not being with them. He wanted to be with them so bad. And he says, "We thought it to be good to be left alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith." So being that Paul couldn't be with the Thessalonians himself, Paul did the next best thing. He sent his trusted companion, co-worker, Timothy, to be with them, to do what Paul wanted to do. And again, Timothy was a young man going to be a church leader, and Paul was raising him up, and so he sent him. And so we see that Satan may have tried to put some roadblocks into Paul going to the Thessalonians, but yet Timothy got through and to strengthen and encourage the Thessalonians in their faith. So God made a way for this to happen for them. And so in verse 3, again, he sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage them, verse 3, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. So Paul says that persecutions or hard times had come upon these believers. And again, this is a relatively young church. And Paul was concerned that these difficult times could really shake their young faith. And we see that, and many times with new believers. And we'll talk about that a little bit. You know, and we know that the initial faith that we have in Christ is all we need for salvation. Think about that. It's pretty amazing. That simple faith in Christ is all we need for salvation. And it's amazing that most people like myself who have come to Christ hardly knew the Bible at all when they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We may have heard of him, but we didn't know the Bible like we do now. But yet God honored that simple faith in him. Okay? Like, you know, a childlike faith, right? That's all we did. All we knew, we were sinners and, yes, want forgiveness and eternal life. Very simple. But that initial faith in Jesus is not all that is necessary to live life as a believer. Our faith must grow roots. Okay, that simple faith doesn't, in regard to salvation, that simple faith is enough. And that simple faith is what saves us. But as we continue on in life, our faith must grow roots. What do you mean roots? Like roots in a plant. Roots into God's word. Right? We can grow roots into his word. So we grow and stay strong. And if you remember, Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 13 where seeds were scattered on the ground in various places. And he said that what happened to the different seeds was a picture or a symbol of how different people respond to the gospel. And he said one particular seed that was sown or planted, one particular seed fell on stony ground. A lot of rocks in this soil. And there was immediate growth from the seed. But the plant didn't last as it was burned up by the sun because it lacked roots. It couldn't grow because of these rocks. Okay? And Jesus said this represented the person who hears God's word and they immediately receive it with excitement. But when the heat of troubles in life comes, or they're persecuted for their newfound belief, or some other distraction comes, they don't last long because their faith has no roots in God's word. And now a person who responds to the gospel message in a positive way, beyond emotion, they begin to grow. But they will also likely face different battles as a new believer grows in Christ. And again, you know, with the first example of someone, maybe you know, have seen people who have gone to church or whatever, and they received the gospel. They said the prayer. But nothing happened. Why? Well, we can go into many different reasons for that, but whether it was emotions or whatever, but it didn't take hold. That person was, their heart was stony ground. They didn't allow God's word to penetrate enough to keep on, right? But, you know, as new believers grow, they face different battles. And one battle is with the devil, right? And Satan's goal is simple. Dig up the new believers before they really get rooted in their relationship with God. You know, that's another part of when somebody is new in the faith and the enemy comes along. And he will try to convince new believers that following Christ is too hard. And not nearly as much fun as living in the ways of the world. You know, and I even see this today. And, you know, on Wednesday night, you know, a while back, and some of you who go on Wednesday, at one time we had a good number of people that came from, you know, a program, AA. And a lot of these people were excited, you know, at least maybe 10 people. You know, that's not a lot, but it is a lot. And people came. They started coming, sitting and hearing God's word and everything. And then one by one, started to fall off. Till it's down to one or two. And so this is, you know, God's word just, you know, proves these things. And it's sad. You try and you see people, you know, doing good. And then, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult to see. Well, let's turn to Hebrews, to the right, past Philemon, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. And it says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You know, there's a lot. We could spend a lot of time just on that verse. Okay. But this is not written to unbelievers. This is written to believers. Okay. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Right? We need the power of his might to go through life as believers. We can't do it on our own. It's impossible. And if we try, we're going to fail. "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So Paul clearly likens the Christian walk to a battle against the devil and a spiritual wickedness that we can't physically see, but we see the results of it sometimes. And Martin Luther is quoted as saying, "If you don't believe in the devil..." I've heard people say that. They don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the devil. But he said, if you don't believe in the devil, it's because you never tried to resist him. Right? Yeah. The same thing. Right? But another battle is with hard times and persecutions, which can also be connected to the devil. You know, and this is what the... Thessalonians were dealing with. Okay, so we'll go back to Thessalonians and then we're going to go to Matthew. So back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2:14. Remember when Paul wrote to them and he said, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans." Okay. So the Thessalonians were suffering persecution. All right. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. There's a lot of that going around today. Believe it or not, if you're online in any sort of, back and forth, and every time there's a religious article, I see these same people making comments. They come out of the woodwork, these atheists and unbelievers, okay? And, saying all kinds of things. But he says in verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay? So, if you're mocked, you're in good company, because that's what they did with the prophets of old in the Old Testament. Now, we don't want to be mocked justifiably. Know what I'm talking about? We don't want to be mocked and criticized for being jerks. that doesn't count. Doesn't count as persecution. And nobody's perfect, but you get the point. Right? And I even think that there's a scripture that says that. Don't be, for something you've done, in other words. But also, many times when people first come to Christ, they begin their walk with the feeling that, the weight of their sin has been lifted off of them. Right? Maybe you felt that when you first got saved. I did. But they often have the mistaken impression, or have been told, that life is going to be wonderful now, after they receive the Lord, that it's going to be just totally wonderful from now on. And sometimes it is. But there's an evangelist, Ray Comfort. He wrote a book called God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life. Okay. And he does. God does have a wonderful plan. But it's not the plan that most people think of in regard to, what that plan is. But what is his wonderful plan? He does have a wonderful plan for us. What is it? His wonderful plan is for people to receive the forgiveness of their sins and receive eternal life through faith in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. That is his wonderful plan. It is. It's even more than wonderful. Wonderful doesn't even cover that. That's his wonderful plan. His wonderful plan is not to have the rest of our lives be wonderful, carefree, stress-free, wealthy, healthy. Now get what I'm saying here. And I'm saying this, God does want good for us, obviously. But we live in a fallen world as believers, subject to everything non-believers are subject to. Disease, crime, all kinds of things. But this is why, when I told you Mr. Ray Comfort's book, the title was God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life, that's only part of the title. The rest of the title is The Myth of the Modern Message. Okay? So the modern message, gospel message today, many times is that God has a wonderful plan for your life. You see them on TV sometimes. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be healthy. Everything, no stress. Everything is cool. It's like Eden. I don't know what planet they're living on. And as much as I love life and try to make things the best I can in my house, in my life, everything, it's still not Eden. Nowhere's near. Nowhere's near. I don't know what they're talking about. And so that myth of the modern message is very dangerous to preach and receive, because after a period of time, life's trials and tribulations do come as Jesus said they would. And the thing is, we go through things in our lives. Every single one of us has our stories, maybe from even this past week. But the thing is, how many of us were persecuted to the point of maybe losing our lives this past week? Anybody? Not me. Yeah. Not me. But yet there are people living today that this past week they've had to deal with that. We can't even imagine. Can't even begin to imagine persecution like that. You know, trying to do something like this in secret so they don't get beat up or thrown in jail or lose their lives. And so what I'm getting here is back to new believers. You know, if you're told that your life is going to be wonderful, and then the trials and tribulations come, they can get disillusioned and disappointed in what they were told. And they're tempted to stop following the Lord. And there's people who have done that. And so again, this is exactly why Paul sent Timothy in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And he said, and he sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Okay? So, if you remember, in the beginning of this letter we started, Paul, he praised this congregation for their faith in Christ. And he told them that you're an example to others. But he didn't candy coat the Christian life when he was with them, like some do today. Instead, in verse 4, he says, for in fact we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. So Paul, when he was with them, he warned them that being a Christian and following Jesus wouldn't be easy. Oh boy. And there would be trials. And they could expect persecution. So, what happened to God's wonderful plan? And we have to remember what Jesus said. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 16. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So our peace is found in him. Why? Because we know the end of the story as we go through this life, as we do have these tribulations. Now, let's go towards the back of our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Paul writes, he's writing to Timothy, whom he sent to the Thessalonians, but Here he's writing to Timothy, and he says in verse 10 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, he says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me." And he says in verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." He didn't say might, will. Right? And one more to the right till we get to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And Peter writes, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified." Okay. So, but the thing is, tribulations and trials are not just things we should expect in our lives. Okay. We need to remember that trials, I usually think of them as not good, bad things. Lord Jesus, help us right now. We need to remember that trials, according to God and the scriptures, are not entirely negative or bad. That trials or tribulations can actually be good for us. You want to know more? Really? Yes. Yes. So, let's turn to James. We're in the back here. If we go to the left out of Peter. James chapter 1. Now, how can trials and tribulations be good for us? James chapter 1, verse 2. And James, he doesn't hold back. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces" what? "Patience," or endurance, or perseverance. Let's read that again. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance." Okay. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more than precious glasses, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Whom, having not seen, you love. Okay? So, again, they're talking about how trials, different various trials and tribulations, can actually be good for us and build our faith. I mean, is it getting hot in here, or is it me? I like life nice and straight, right? Even. Right? Don't you hate it when you go down there and you see and you got these bumps from them digging up the road? It's like, that's how, you know, life is like that. But I don't like life like that. I like it nice and smooth, a nice smooth highway. That's delusional. Life is not like that. But God says sometimes these things are in our lives, really. And again, I've heard people say, we have to sometimes in these trials say, what's the Lord trying to teach me? That's the key. I got to staple that to my forehead. Right? That is awesome. What's the Lord trying to teach me here? You know, we're looking to Him for the answer because sometimes He's allowing these trials for a what? Reason. So Peter says how we deal with trials and tribulations can show that our faith is real. Show who? Show ourselves. Okay? And let's go to 2 Corinthians. Going to get ready to close. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Right? He does, right? He can comfort us, right? Why? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So going through trials and tribulations can be good for us also because they can help us give comfort and encouragement to someone else who's going through the same thing we did. You know, we've been down a certain road or whatever it is, illness or whatever it may be, and comfort somebody else in their trial, whatever it may be. God uses that. Okay, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, and Paul writes, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. I don't usually see it that way. And Romans, finally, chapter 8. Paul's talking about suffering for the Lord, specifically. He says in verse 18, Romans chapter 8, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Right? He's saying the things I go through for the Lord or being a Christian, they can't even begin to compare what is on the other side of those tribulations because of us being Christians. Again, online when people they mock the Lord and this and that, Sky Daddy and all this stupid stuff, I want to lash out, you know. But they're blind, just like I was blind. I have to remember that and try to give some kind of grace. And what I'm trying to do now more, instead of my own, I get a scripture. Let God's word speak for me, right? His word is what can change a person's heart better than my own words, I'll tell you that much. You know, so I'm, you know, I have scriptures ready, just copy and paste, boom, you know. Let them see that. Let them hear from Him instead of me. Amen? There's a tip for you. That's why it's good to memorize scriptures too, if we run into somebody.